fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the growth of the early church. We've got the passages that follow upon the celebration of Easter. We're between the two great celebrations, the celebration of Easter and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, what we're shooting for now is moving toward Pentecost, the 50 days of celebration for the church and glorying in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and preparing for the grace of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pope Benedict XVI said that Jesus' entire mission can be summed up in this simple phrase, to baptize in the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to transfer, to give to human flesh, to give to every human heart, every single person, a share and a participation in his glory and majesty. Jesus died and rose from the dead. He died to conquer sin, to put away sin, to cleanse the conscience of every man and woman on the face of the earth who wants to come to Christ, believe in him, and receive the forgiveness of sins so that they can then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is what makes us sons and daughters of God. We become sons and daughters of God, not by our natural birth, but by being born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3, by the Holy Spirit, by water and the Spirit. Being baptized into Christ and receiving his Holy Spirit, we literally share and participate in his life. So the apostles go forward under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the grace and power of the Spirit that was upon Jesus, now transferred to the apostles. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to obtain sight for the blind, to announce the year of the Lord's favor, to set captives free. Jesus came to free captives. That is, every human being captive to the power of sin and death, captive to the power of the devil. Jesus came to literally liberate and free us from that condition and to give us, he's the anointed one. The Messiah means anointed. Anointed with what? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's able to fulfill the Father's plan to bring to life all those the Father has created who have fallen from glory and literally become slaves to the power of sin and death. What needs to happen, what salvation is coming from death to life, passing from death to life. And we can't pass from death to life on our own power and our own resources. We are literally beings that are born toward death. We are destined toward death, and we can't stop ourselves. Despite how much effort we make to prolong our lives, at the end of the day, death reigns over human flesh. God's solution in sending his son was to give us a life that's stronger than death. That's what we're celebrating in the season of Easter. We glory in the reality, the fact of Jesus' resurrection, the reality of what's in him, the power of an indestructible life that he can give to us, that he gives us a share in his own life. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what we'll see in the readings. The Holy Spirit is upon Peter. He's upon John. He's upon Stephen today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the first deacon, Stephen, who becomes the first martyr. He was selected, set apart by the apostles along with six other seven deacons to serve the tables, to serve the needs of the widows and others that the growing church was caring for. The apostles said they didn't have time. They needed to preach the gospel and really shepherd the growing church that they were leading and that they needed help. So they raised up deacons, laid hands on them, ordained them. That's where deacons come from. And Deacon Stephen was the first to be martyred. He's the first martyr, but the first martyr in the church is a deacon. We're going to see that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. In fact, as they describe who Stephen is and the selection of Stephen and the criteria that they wanted as they sought out who could assist the apostles in their mission, in their ministry, they said they needed men of good repute and men who are full of the Spirit. They chose Stephen. The passage, Acts chapter 6, said he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that as his story unfolds, as he went forward, not only to serve the table and the needs of the widows, but he also preached the gospel. And in the preaching of the gospel, he came up against what Jesus said would happen. You're going to experience resistance. You're living in a fallen world. You're living in a world that's in rebellion against God and against God's plan. This is not your home. This is literally enemy-occupied territory. This is a battlefield here in the world. This is not home. It's not heaven. Our home is with God. Our home is in God. And no matter where we are, if we're in God, we're home. But as we go forward to proclaim the gospel, as we see in Stephen, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance to God's plan, to God's commandments, to God's economy, God's whole vision, what it means to be human, what it means to live a good life, what's the road to true happiness, what it means to be free, what's the purpose of my life. Jesus came to reveal all of that. Jesus gave us an opportunity to lay hold of what the reason for which we were made and to step into God's plan and purpose for each one of us, because God desires our happiness, our salvation, our fulfillment in Him. Jesus came to reveal it. But when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want that life and that purpose, you must follow me. But to follow me means you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. That is, deny the relationship you have with yourself. That is, to determine for yourself what is true, what is good, to be the arbiter yourself of your own destiny, the one who defines your own purpose, your own meaning, your own truth. We're living at a time, friends, when the world is radically resisting God more and more every day and saying the only way I can be happy is if I'm the master of my own universe, if I'm the master of my own destiny, if I create and design my own purpose. It's a demonic temptation to do that. Jesus said, the road to happiness is not demanding your own radical autonomy. The road to fulfillment, to absolute freedom, is to submit your life to Christ, is to lay down your life for the Lord, is to deny that thing in you that insists on its own way, my will be done, not thy will be done. And so, as the apostles go forward, as Deacon Stephen and others go forward to proclaim the gospel, they experience the resistance that Jesus said would be in the world, that there's a resistance to his gospel, to his truth. And so the apostles tell us very clearly, for example, Paul's letter in 2 Timothy chapter 3 said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. The apostles knew that because Jesus told them it would happen. John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And he said, the world hates you because the world resists the will of God the Father. The world doesn't know God the Father. The world doesn't want to submit to God the Father and his will. And Jesus said, that's the source of the hatred and the resistance. So if you identify with me, Jesus said, you're identifying with the Father. And if you teach what I taught you, you're teaching what the Father taught me. And so what's good for the master is good for the servant. What happens to the master will happen to the servant, Jesus said. And as you go forward as my servants, you're going to experience the same kind of hostility that I received. It shouldn't shake you. The apostles were so clear on that. I love the passage from 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 and following, Peter said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory rests upon you. The Spirit of glory is the Holy Spirit rests upon you. The glory that was upon Jesus Christ rests upon you. It's a beautiful meditation, I think important for our time as the world gets more hostile to the Christian people. It's interesting, there's so much persecution happening around the world. More Christians are being martyred these days than really in many times in the history of the church. We don't see that here in the United States. People are not being martyred, but there is a growing hostility. And you ask the question, why is there so much martyrdom in the world? Why is there this constant hostility that emerges again and again and again? Because we're living in a fallen world that is under, as St. John the Apostle tells us, the whole world is under the power of the devil. That dimension of the fallen world that's under his power is at work resisting the will of God. So today's story of Stephen. It says, Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, people of Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Jesus promised that very thing. When the time comes for you to speak the word, to stand up, and especially stand up before judges and courts and leaders that are hostile, Jesus said, I will give you the words to speak. My Holy Spirit will strengthen you. And that's what's happening to Stephen. Then they instigated some men to say, quote, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified. Now, exactly what happened to Jesus is happening now to Stephen. False witnesses testifying against him because they want to get rid of him. This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him claim that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down. All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. All those in the Sanhedrin, all those in positions of authority, as Stephen is standing before them, just like Jesus stood before them, St. Stephen being falsely accused simply for proclaiming the truth about who Jesus Christ is and offering the gift of salvation, calling people to repentance. This is the thing that people hate. This is what people don't want. They don't want to have to acknowledge that they've missed the mark in their life and that Christ is the mark, Christ is the goal, and that having missed him is to miss the mark, to resist God's will and God's plan, and to have to turn and to humble ourselves to follow Jesus, to receive his diagnosis of our life, and to recognize that he is Lord and Savior, that all power and authority belong to him. Here's where the powers of the world resist. They agitate. They want to silence the voice of Jesus' apostles and disciples who communicate. Really, St. Stephen, a saintly man, he's not forcing his words on anybody. He's not imposing himself on anybody, but he's proposing to human freedom. He's proposing to the conscience of all those who are listening. He's proclaiming and declaring the truth about who Jesus is. And it's happening under the anointing of the Spirit, who gives him wisdom and allows him to work wonders and signs in the name of Jesus Christ, which stirs up people and gets people to follow Stephen. They're captivated by the words and deeds that Stephen presents to them. And the leaders who want control end up jealous and angry, bitter, and they come against them to silence them. Friends, throughout all of human history now, between the coming of Jesus Christ, his rising from the dead, and his coming again in glory, it's a time of mission for all of the disciples of Jesus Christ to take the message of salvation, the truth about who Jesus is, to the whole world. And there will be constant resistance to this. When we stand up for the truth that Jesus taught, we should expect it. It's part of the normal Christian life to experience resistance. And the Gospels and the writings of the apostles are clear. When that happens to us, that is a blessing. We should rejoice and receive it and not run from it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.